So we're going to celebrate communion together. I know in many churches it's tradition to do it on Good Friday. We didn't have a Good Friday service, so we want this to be part of our service here as well. So I'm going to begin with reading part of the story. I have a couple of things that I want to talk about, and then we'll go into it together. So I'm reading from Matthew chapter 26. You guys can follow along with me if you want. While they were eating, Jesus took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. "Take and eat," he said. "This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them. "Drink it, all of you," he said. "This is my blood, which seals God's covenant. My blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink it anew with you in my kingdom, in my Father's kingdom." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "This very night, all of you will run away and leave me. For the scripture says, God will kill the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised to life, I will go to Galilee ahead of you." Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, "I will never leave you, even though all the rest do." Jesus said to Peter, "I tell you that before the rooster crows tonight, you will say three times that you do not know me." Peter answered, "I will never say that, even if I have to die with you." And all the other disciples said the same thing. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with them Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee. Grief and anguish came over him, and he said to them, "The sorrow in my heart is so great that it almost crushes me. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went a little further on, threw himself face down on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want." Then he returned to the three disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "How is it that you three were not able to keep watch with me even for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, Jesus went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cup of suffering cannot be taken away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." He returned once more and found the disciples asleep. They could not keep their eyes open. Again, Jesus left them, went away, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he returned to the disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the power of sinful men. Get up. Let us go. Look, here is the man who is going to betray me." And then I'm going to jump ahead here into chapter 27. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine mixed with bitter substance, but after tasting it, he would not drink it. They crucified him and then divided his clothes among them by throwing dice. After they sat there and watched him above his head, they put this written notice saying his accusation: "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then they crucified two bandits with him, Jesus, one on his right and the other on his left. People passed by, shook their hands, and hurled insults at Jesus. "You were going to tear down the temple and build it back in 3 days. Save yourself if you were God's son. Come on down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders made fun of him. "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Isn't he the King of Israel? If he will come down off the cross now, we will believe in him. He trusts in God and claims to be God's son. Well, then let's see if God wants to save him now." Even the bandits who had been crucified with him insulted him in the same way. At noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and a shout, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the people standing there heard him and said, "He's calling for Elijah." One of them ran up at once, took a sponge, soaked it in cheap wine, put it on an end of a stick, and tried to make him drink it. But the other said, "Wait, let's see if Elijah is coming to save him." Jesus again gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain hung in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split apart, the graves broke open, and many of God's people who had died were raised to life. They left the graves, and after Jesus rose from death, he went into the holy city where many people saw him. When the army officers and the soldiers with him who were watching Jesus saw the earthquake and everything else that had happened, they were terrified and said, "He really was the Son of God." There were many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee and helped him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the wife of Zebedee. I'm going to jump now to chapter 28. After the Sabbath on Sunday morning was drawing, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat on it. His appearance was white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they trembled and became like dead men. The angel spoke to the woman. "You must not be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is not here. He has been raised, just as he said. Come here and see the place where he was laying. Go quickly now and tell his disciples. He has been raised from death, and now he is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him. Remember what I have told you." So they left the tomb in a hurry, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Peace be with you." They came up to him and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. "Do not be afraid," Jesus said to them. "Go and tell my brothers, then go to Galilee, and there you will see me." Communion. Communion initiated with the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, where he instructed them to do this in remembrance of me. The use of bread and wine in communion symbolizes the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, serving as a powerful reminder for his sacrificial death for the atonement of sins. Communion serves as a solemn moment for believers to reflect on Jesus' sacrifice and express gratitude for the profound redemption and forgiveness of sins achieved through his crucifixion and resurrection. The act of communion signifies the unity among believers in the body of Christ, illustrating shared faith, fellowship, and a common bond. Prior to participating in communion, believers are encouraged to engage in self-examination, confess sins, and approach the sacrament with a repentant heart, aligned with Paul's counsel in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, which says, "Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body," meaning understanding the significance of it, "eat and drink judgment on themselves." Jen, do you want to come up and just play for a moment? So before we take communion, I want to have just a moment of silence. We'll have a minute. Just, you know, reflect on what God has done. You prepare your heart for communion. You know, think about this story, about what we talked about. And then after that, then I'll invite you guys to all come up. We'll all take the juice and the crackers. You guys can go sit down, and then I'll do a reading, and then we'll drink the cup together. Then I'll do the reading. Sorry, other way around. We'll do the bread first, and then we'll drink the cup. So let's just take a moment in reflection. I'll begin it by praying, and then we'll have a moment of silence. Jesus, it's so good to read that story. God, to be reminded about what you've done, to look and to understand your sacrifice that you made for us. So Jesus, we want to come, and we want to come to the table that you've prepared, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, which was sacrificed for us. God, we want to come with a repentant heart. We want to come with a humble heart, saying, Jesus, your gift, your sacrifice is enough. God, and we need your blood to cover our sins. We'll invite you to come up. Just come to the table. We can come in two separate ways. If one group goes this way, the other group goes this way, then we can all come and grab the juice and the crackers and then hold on to them. When Jesus had broken bread, he prayed and gave thanks. Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that you've made for us. Thank you for the gift that you're offering each and every one of us. Jesus, thank you for the desire that you want to have relationship with us, to walk with us. Jesus, thank you for the gift that you gave, which can forgive all of our sins. It was a sacrifice for you and a free gift for us. In Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 said, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. do this in remembrance of me. So let's take the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's drink the cup. First Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." 1 John 1 verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all our sins." Amen. I believe we have a, do you want to?
So, good morning. Does anybody feel uncomfortable? So, we have got on our tables, there is an egg on everybody's table, and I would like everybody, this is an interactive Sunday with everybody interacting. I would like everybody to open up their egg, and I would like everybody to designate somebody that's going to explain what is in the egg after, in a little bit. And for those other ones that aren't, maybe I'll just throw them on a different table. Yeah, and we have got a few interactive things like this. And there is, and don't be afraid of what's inside the egg. You can open it. It is, either you can just read what's there and explain what's inside, or you can read the scripture and show us what's inside. But we're going to be going over that after in a little bit. But we have got a special number. Yes. We've got a special number, and we've also got wonderful clipboards for the kids. So if the kids would like to go into the back, now they can go in the back, and there is some clipboards back there, and then you can come back.
So we are going to be singing
"Don't Think It's On." Oh.
"Glorious Day." Is this mic on?
I think this one is.
Okay. We're going to be singing the song called "Glorious Day." So if you know it, please sing along. If not, it's great to think about the words.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Revealed, living, he loved me, died.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, girls. Okay. Where was the other mic? Okay. I should have had these numbered, but I don't. So, is there somebody at your table that is wanting to? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Say the top thing.
Yep.
Praying. Praying hands. Whip.
Read what's on there too.
He fell with his face to the ground and prayed. Yet not my but yours be done.
Whip. Mark 15:1-15. He, Pilate, had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
Nails on the cross. Mark 15:21-32. They nailed his hands and feet to the cross.
Matthew 26:14-16. And Judas asked, how much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver.
I'll go, Duane. We have a palm branch. It's from John 12:12-16. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Luke 22:7-30. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Or are we supposed to read that?
Yeah, you can read just the top thing or what the item was.
Okay. The spear, John 19:28-37. One of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear.
stone. Matthew 57:62-28. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb.
Crown of thorns.
Matthew 27:27-31. Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head, and they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified.
The cloth. Mark 15:42-47. Then he wrapped Jesus' body in the linen cloth and placed it in the tomb.
Empty tomb. Matthew 28. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said.
Rooster. Mark 14:66-72. Before the rooster crows twice, you, Peter, will disown me three times.
Little snippets of just the whole story. And now we're going to watch a video specifically for the children.
That's right.
That's right. Perfect timing.
After Jesus was arrested, he was led to the high priest. The religious leaders were trying to find a reason to kill Jesus, but they could not. The high priest asked, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of God?" Jesus replied, "Yes, that's right." The high priest said, "He has spoken against God. He deserves to die." The religious leaders refused to believe that Jesus was God's son. In the morning, the religious leaders led Jesus to Pilate, the governor. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked. "Yes, that's right," Jesus replied. "What should I do with Jesus?" Pilate asked the crowd. "Crucify him," they answered. Pilate did not think Jesus had done anything wrong, but he handed Jesus over and said, "Do whatever you want." The governor's soldiers put a scarlet robe on Jesus. They made a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Then they mocked him. "Here is the King of the Jews." They beat Jesus and led him away to be killed. The soldiers nailed Jesus to a cross. They put a sign above his head that said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two criminals were crucified next to him. Darkness covered the land. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus shouted again, and then he died. Suddenly, the curtain in the temple sanctuary split in two from top to bottom, and there was an earthquake. One of the men guarding Jesus' body said, "This man really was God's son." Jesus was buried in a tomb. A stone was sealed in front of the tomb so that no one could steal Jesus' body. On the third day, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. Suddenly, there was an earthquake. An angel of the Lord rolled back the stone and sat on it. The guards were so afraid that they fainted. The angel spoke to the woman, "Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus. He is not here. He has risen just like he said he would." The women left the tomb quickly. They ran to tell the disciples the good news. Just then, Jesus greeted them. The women worshiped him. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told them. "Tell my followers to go to Galilee. They will see me there." Jesus appeared to Peter and then to the other disciples. Jesus also appeared to more than 500 people who followed him. Many people witnessed that Jesus is alive. Jesus' death and resurrection is the center of the gospel. In Adam, we were spiritually dead in sin, but Jesus died to pay for our sins. Jesus is alive. God gives new life to everyone who trusts in Jesus.
Sing together. The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave. The war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake.
Yeah. Jesus, that we serve a risen King. Lord, thank you that you are alive, Lord, that you gave it because of incredible love for us, Lord Jesus, so that we can come boldly before your throne and worship you and know that we have eternity with you and that you have prepared a place, Lord Jesus, and that you promise that you will be with us to the end of the age. You will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And you're coming again. And Lord, we anticipate your second coming. Amen.
Thank you, Jen and the team. Yeah, I do just want to keep on worshiping. This planning, Sunday morning, kind of came together with a variety of people. It was Pam and I and Jen who kind of threw a lot of ideas and thoughts around, and we just wanted to really be able to come together as a body of Christ, working together, serving together, and sharing together, and just sharing of God's goodness as well in our lives. And yeah, it's been fun to do a little change up of our normal Sundays and just be able to sit around tables and commune and to be together and to glorify God together in this way. So we wanted to have a few people share. We didn't know what that would look like, how that would look like, and you know, it was really God's bringing all of it together that happened. And so we weren't sure if we would have two people share. We weren't sure if we were going to have one person share, because it didn't seem like it was going to work. Anything was going to work. But you know what? God had bigger plans for everything. So we've got three people sharing this morning. So, Quint, would you like to come and you can be the first one? If you have to.
Well, as those of you that know me know, this isn't my favorite place to be, so excuse my awkwardness. I enjoy one-on-one talks with a friend is more my comfort area. Being in a group, I tend to be more of a listener. Anyway, spending time in the outdoors with a friend or two brings a lot of joy, whether fishing, hunting, canoeing, camping, or just sitting around a fire on God's amazing creation. When I spend time out in nature and observe the beauty and how everything is designed and created to function, I can only believe in and praise the God who created it all. I'd like to just share one incredible story that just baffles me how this can work, but if some of you watch some of the documentaries, you've maybe seen the story of the monarch butterfly's journey. The butterflies will sleep for 5 months in a small grove of trees in central Mexico. And in spring, tens of millions of monarchs wake up, have a drink, mate, and start flying north. About a month into their flight, the females will find a patch of milkweed to lay her eggs on, as it's the only plant the young will eat. Then she and her generation die. The eggs hatch into caterpillars and begin to feed on the milkweed and grow. In a few weeks, caterpillars spin a cocoon and they transform into a butterfly. It then continues north with its new generation, with no representatives or guidance from the previous generation. This life and death cycle continues as the monarchs fly around 2,000 miles to the central prairies in the US and Canada. Here, a super generation of monarchs are born, then they fly all the way back to the same grove of trees in central Mexico to spend the winter, where its ancestors about four generations ago and 4,000 miles ago left in spring. I can't believe that things as incredible as this just happened by chance. They point to our great Creator God. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands." The same God that created all these amazing creatures and the amazing scenery we see sent his son Jesus to die for each of us so we can be saved. I'm just going to read a page out of the Daily Bread. For those of you that read it, you will have heard this story from yesterday, but it's very applicable to the Easter season. Before Jim Caviezel played Jesus in the film The Passion of the Christ, director Mel Gibson warned that the role would be extremely difficult and could negatively affect his career in Hollywood. Caviezel took on the role anyway, saying, "I think we have to make it, even if it is difficult." During the filming, Caviezel was struck by lightning, lost 45 pounds, and was accidentally whipped during the flogging scene. Afterwards, he stated, "I didn't want people to see me. I just wanted them to see Jesus. Conversions will happen through that." The film deeply affected Caviezel and others on the set, and only God knows how many of the millions who watched it experienced changed lives. The Passion of the Christ refers to the time of Jesus' greatest suffering, from his triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, and including his betrayal, mocking, flogging, and crucifixion. Accounts are found in all four Gospels. In Isaiah 53, his suffering and its outcome are foretold. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. But because of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, we can have peace with God. His suffering opened the way for us to be with him." What aspect of Christ's life most impacts you? How does his suffering affect you? Precious Savior, it's hard to express how grateful I am that you suffered, died, and rose again for me. Thank you.
Thanks, Quint. I'm just going to
share a little bit of my testimony. For those of you maybe who don't know where I grew up, I was born in Irian Jaya, Indonesia. I was born in a small village. I was born early, no doctor. My dad delivered me and my mom in a house which is no longer existent. It's overcome by jungle, so I can never go back to visit where I was born, which is sometimes kind of sad for me, but that's where I was born. I grew up. My parents were missionaries. My mom and dad met at WBC, Winnipeg Bible College, Providence. And so I was born there. My brother was born there as well. And I knew about Jesus right from the start where I was born. And so early on in my life, I accepted Jesus in my heart at 5 in a star fruit tree. I don't know if you guys know what star fruit are. They actually look like stars and you cut them open. Oh, you know when I like? Yeah, cool. And so we had a star fruit tree in our front yard, and I remember hanging out in there, climbing the tree, and I just one day decided I need to give my life to Jesus at 5. So I grew up in the church, in youth groups, retreats. I've had moments of encounters with Jesus and rededicating my life to him through the years. He's always been real in my life. I'll make mistakes, and there's things that I've, you know, done and confessed and walked through. But he's always been there for me, and just in different moments and pockets in my life that he's been real. So fast forward in my life, Chris and myself moving to Landmark, and we started attending LCF, and about the time that I started attending, I don't know, it was about 15 years ago probably, because Tom is 15, so... There was a Holy Spirit weekend, and so just focusing and learning about the Holy Spirit. And I grew up learning lots about Jesus and God and the Father, and not very much about the Holy Spirit. I knew, right? Like, so I knew I could feel in my spirit that I knew that this was a weekend that I was going to be changed, and I was. I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and I've never been the same. My Bible reading and prayer, I couldn't get enough in worship. So when God started speaking and working in my life about worship, music, worship, you know, our lives are worship, right? So I went to different retreats and just couldn't get enough and being prayed for by the Holy Spirit and seeing him and learning to hear his voice more and more each and every day and realizing that he's been speaking to me all along, but sometimes I just didn't hear his voice or wasn't aware of it. Incredible moment of power, just the Holy Spirit, was I was gripped with fear, I don't know, years ago, I don't know, here. just intense fear was overcome my life for quite a few months. And I remember coming up to the front, asking for prayer, broken, and Paul and Hannah prayed for me, and I just remember feeling like, just, I don't know, it was gone. Fear was gone. And I never experienced that before. So just knowing that the power of the Holy Spirit is in our lives and he changes us. So James, one of my favorite verses, I probably quote this on the stage or as we lead worship too, but James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And that is so precious to me, because if we draw near to him, if I draw near, he's going to draw near to you. And on Easter, we realize, Duane read, like, the veil was torn in the sanctuary so that we can draw near to the Lord through Spirit. And because of his blood, we gain Jesus and we gain everything that we need. So another special thing about Easter was I was baptized on Easter when I was in grade 5 in Indonesia in a swimming pool. it's just special for me to remember that, a dedication of my life to the Lord. So my desire is to serve him and give him all my days. So thank you. Draw near to the Lord, and he promises he will draw near to us. So thank you.
This is going to take me a bit to get the computer started.
Okay, I'm going to be sharing one way God has spoke to me this week. A few days ago, I had asked my mom, to think about sharing today. And I was very nervous and just shut it down. And yeah, the next day I was reading my Bible and I was reading Exodus 4. And this is what it said. It said, "Now go, I will help you speak and I will help you teach." But Moses said, "Pardon you, servant, Lord, please send me someone else." I read it, looked up, and just smiled, knowing she would be very happy and knowing that I could do this. Sorry, I lost my place. In the past, I have felt God call me to share something to someone or a group of people, but I was too scared to, and just scared of what others would think. Reading this chapter and seeing what God wants me to share and speak his truth, I found a great poem that ties into today and that Jesus died for all of us. The poem is called Holes. I have been in a hole for a very long time, in the dark and in the damp, in the cold and in the slime. The shaft was above me. I could see it quite clear, but there is no way out. I could never reach it from here, nor could I remember the world way up here. So I lost all my hope and gave in to despair. I knew nothing but darkness, the floor and the walls. Then off in the distance, I heard someone call, "Get up, get ready, there's nothing matter. Take rocks and old sticks and build up a fine ladder." This had never occurred to me. I had not crossed my mind. But I started to stack all the stones and I could find. When I ran out of stones, then old sticks were my goal. For one way or another, I get out of this hole. So soon I had a ladder that was sturdy and tall. And I thought, I'll soon leave this place once and for all. I climbed up the ladder. It was no easy chore, for lifting these boulders, my shoulders were sore. I climbed up the ladder, but soon had to stop, for the ladder is short, soon 10 feet from the top. I climbed back to my ladder and started to cry, and I did all I could do. I gave my best try, and in spite of work, this is the hole I must die. And all I could do was sit and think, why? Was my ladder too short or my hole much too deep? Then from way up high came a voice, "Do not weep." And the faith, hope, and love entered my chest as the voice said to me that I had done my best. He said, "You've worked hard, your labor has been rough, but the ladder you've built is at last tall enough. Do not despair, you have reason to hope. Just climb up your ladder, I'll throw down my rope." I climbed up the ladder, then climbed up the cord. When I got to the top, there stood the Lord. I couldn't be happier. My struggle was done. I blinked in the brightness that came from the sun. I fell to the ground. His feet did I kiss. I cried, "What do I repay thee for this?" Then he looked all around. There were holes in the ground. They had people inside and were seen all around. There were thousands of holes. They were damp, dark, and deep. Then the Lord turned to me and said, "Follow me and feed my sheep." Then he went on his way to help other lost souls, and I got down to work, calling down to the holes, "Get up, get ready, there's nothing the matter. Take rocks and old sticks and build up a fine ladder." It was now my turn to spread the good word, the most glorious message that man had ever heard, that there is one who is willing to save one and all, and we've got to be ready for when he calls. He'll put us out of the holes that we're in and save our souls from death and from sin. Do not lose faith. There is reason to hope. Just build up a ladder. He'll throw down his rope. Jesus helped us out of the holes we built. We built the ladder, but he gave us the rope. He saved us from the darkness and we were in, and we got to see the light. from him. With all that is said and done, all he asks us is ask from us is to follow him and feed his sheep.
Oh my. Did you guys hear anything from those testimonies? Each one was so different. I think of Quint, and he sees God in nature. Jen, I heard so much of her and worship and song. Clara, words. God speaks to each one of us and touches us where we're at, in who we are, in our unique ways. Isn't that beautiful? And so he knows the hole you're in. And he's big enough to reach into any hole. That's amazing. That's our God. And that's the importance of sharing your testimony out loud, and your testimony out loud, and your testimony out loud. Because so often, if we're by ourselves, we think, no, nobody can understand. God can't touch me, right? I'm not good enough. Our God is. And that's one of the reasons we also meet together as a body. And also why God needs this body and each of you to reach his world and to be sharing our testimonies outside of these walls and who you are in your giftings.
Yeah. I almost don't have to continue saying what I say because, I've been thinking about testimonies and thinking about how they do. They reveal the nature of God. You know, like every God talks to us and speaks to us in different ways of being out in nature, in the words that we sing and speak, and how it just shows like the real heart of the Lord. And I mean, that's why he did this. That's why he died. He wanted us to not have to bear the curse of sin, and so that he could be with us and have that relationship and that intimacy with us. So our testimonies are something that sometimes we don't think about them for a long time. You know, like if we are ones that did give our lives to the Lord when we were smaller, and now we're older, and it's some things that we don't necessarily think about, and we just think, well, that was my testimony then, right? But I mean, we've got testimonies where we walk through life or situations that God wants to use those, but we do need to speak and we do need to remember them. Ron was preaching and talking about how the church is the body of Christ, but we are the hands and feet of the Lord too, and being able to share and being able to be with others in certain circumstances. When we look back, it's hard to think about where we've come from. Think about that we actually have been growing and the Lord actually is moving and working in us. So I've got these little things here that everybody has on their table. We're going to spend a little bit of time, and there's markers on your table. In Joshua 3:4, the Israelites were crossing into the promised land at some point. You can read the scripture. But when they crossed the Jordan, God told them, each of the tribes, to take a stone and bring it here and make an altar of remembrance and remembering where the Lord has been, and just as a constant reminder of God's faithfulness and his goodness. And so that was one of our ideas of that. You can either write one thing, you can write five things, you can write whatever you want to write. But we wanted to just make it as an LCF thing of remembrance, remembering where God has led us. So either you can take a favorite scripture verse and write it down. You can draw a picture. You can say maybe how God speaks to you or maybe what God has done for you. And just as a proclamation of this is where we've come. This is where we've seen the Lord, his faithfulness, his provisions. And if you don't want to do it, and if you want to like think about it and come back next Sunday and actually write it down, you can. We're going to have these up for one more Sunday if you don't want to do some now, but we will take some time. These are some questions to kind of get you thinking and thinking about what you want to put down. If you want, you can write like just a tiny little thing, and that's it. If you don't feel like you want to share anymore. But then after that, I'm going to take them next Sunday and make them into a cross that we will have in the back for a little while of just a remembrance of the Lord has been with us. The Lord is providing, and the Lord is sharing and speaking us to in these ways. So we're just going to take a few minutes, and then after that, yes. If you want to, yeah, if a family just wants to do one, that's totally fine. Or you can do a little corner. Oh, yeah, you don't have to fill up the whole thing. This is just just to make you start thinking. And then after we're going to spend a little bit of time, give people about 5 minutes or so, and then we'll come back and sing another song before we leave.
You know, I just want to add on to something that Pam had talked about regarding those testimonies. And it's just amazing how God works, because I was sitting back there thinking as well just how different they all were. And, you know, I was reminded of, and I've mentioned it in this church before, one of my favorite passages or chapters in the Bible is Psalm 139. And, you know, when you put all those three testimonies together and you look at Psalm 139, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You are familiar with all of my ways. You perceive my going out and my coming back, and you've laid your hand upon me. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it full well. God knows everything about us, and we are all so different, and yet God knows everything. Just continues to blow my mind.
do you want to, Thomas, do you want to turn the YouTube off? Just, awesome. Right. It's just so neat to see, like, I think this will be really beautiful to have up, you know, some of verses, whatever, pictures, you know, just of what the Lord has done and is doing and is working in our lives, and knowing that we each can hear his voice each and every day, right? And he speaks to us through his word each and every day. I was told it was some birthdays today. Is it Joseph? Is it your birthday today, bud? Yeah. And Kaylee, was it your birthday yesterday? Sorry? Friday. And some birthdays, yeah. Tara, we have so many, but I'm sure there's, are there other March birthdays? And or is it March still? It is March. Yours was the 15th? Anyone else in March? Yeah, okay. Thomas, you're in March. Oh. It's Bryn's birthday today? Wow, that's really cool. Okay, well, we can sing happy birthday as a church too, and if we can say to all our March birthdays and just to Joseph, and it's just neat to have it on Easter too, right? And so close to Easter. Easter isn't usually in March, so. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Joseph and Kaylee and everyone else in March. Happy birthday to you. Amen. The Lord is good, hey? So good. We're going to just worship the Lord together in song.
Precious blood.
No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my
to the King of Heaven.
Amen. It's good to sing praises.
It is good to be together, to be able to celebrate the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus. You know, we celebrate this once a year, but really, according to Scripture, we need to be celebrating Jesus in our hearts, in our lives, in our actions on a daily basis. And we can do that. Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to celebrate you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to celebrate you daily in our lives. And we choose, as we go from here, to worship you. And I'm also struck by the fact that after the resurrection, in the end of Matthew, the book of Matthew, you gave us the Great Commission, go and tell. And so, Lord, help us to do that this week, to go and share you with other people. In Jesus' name, amen.